Morning.
Morning.
God is good all the time.
Amen.
All the time, God is good. I thank God for blessing us to get here safely and allowing me to have, once again, an opportunity to preach His Word. I thank God all the time when I do that. Every time I preach, have the opportunity to come before God's people, I thank God for that opportunity, because you know it is a blessing to be able to impart the blessings of God's word unto other people that God has placed within. This morning, I want to take time to look at Philippians chapter 4 and verse 8 and 9. Verses 8 and 9. Philippians chapter 4, verses 8 and number 9. It reads, "Finally, brethren, whatever things are true, whatever things are noble, whatever things are just, whatever things are pure, whatever things are lovely, whatever things are of good report, if there is any virtue, and if there is anything praiseworthy, meditate on these things." The King James Version and other versions says, "Think about these things," or "think on these things." ever since I was a little boy, I have tinkered with and disassembled electronics. And a little over 20 years ago, Barbara and I were in the San Jose Job Corps program. And my chosen field of training was computer repair. That was what I went there for. Unfortunately, the waiting list was so long that I ended up having to choose electronics troubleshooting. And so, electronics assembly. And so, since then, I have worked in various electronics jobs and dealing with computers and programs. And I've been an assembler, a test technician, and an engineering technician. And one of the things that I've learned in all my years of dealing with electronics is that there are times, yes, when electronic components will fail. Stuff like a bad power supply, or maybe a fan or some switch or something like that. But many times, or should I say most times, when there is a problem with certain electronic devices or computers and cell phones, most of the time it comes down to operator error. Sometimes the person using the device makes small mistakes and there ends up being some kind of problem. And sometimes it's simply a matter of putting in the wrong information. Like, for example, when someone sends a text message to a friend or family member and didn't notice that the autocorrect function completely changed the nature of your conversation. It is clear that putting in the bad information can cause you to get bad results. But the opposite is also true. When you put in the right information, things go the way they're supposed to go. Computer programmers know all about this. They even have a term for it. It's called garbage in, garbage out. You get out what you put in. In a lot of ways, the human mind is exactly the same way. When I was in college, I took a class on psychology, and there is a long-standing debate about nature versus nurture. There is this debate about which aspects of human behavior are influenced the most by either inherited or genetic influences, or are we influenced most by acquired or learned influences. In reality, it's just a little bit of both. There are some things that that we do by nature because of our genes. But it is undeniable about the role that the role that is played in us learning what we learn throughout the years. It's one of the reasons why Proverbs 22:6 says, train up a child in the way that he should go, and when he is old, he will not depart from it. It's not just about your genes, but it's also about what you learn as you grow up. And it's not just with small children that this is the case. It is also true, it's ongoing truth for all adults. The entire field of marketing is based on the fact that just like a computer or other electronic devices, your life will reap what you have sown into your mind. That's one of the reasons why you see all these advertisements for different things. Someone once said, sow a thought and you reap an action. Sow an action and you reap a habit. Sow a habit and you reap a character. Sow a character and you reap an eternal destiny. Amen. The question you need to ask yourself is, where are your thoughts leading you? Amen. All throughout his letter to the Philippians, the Apostle Paul talks about his affection, his love for the Philippian believers, and how he wants them to have joy and to be able to stand, like he says in chapter 1, verse 27. And he knows that in order for them to be able to stand through the things in which they will suffer, they have to have a degree of control over their minds. The problem is that as we live our lives, we are in constant competition with the world for influence over our own minds. You see it coming most of the time when you look at advertisements on television. You see ads for ice cream on a hot day making you think, you know what, I could go around to the corner and get me some ice cream real quick. Or you see ads on TV for a TV show that you want to see, that's your favorite show that's coming on, and consequently it comes on at the same time church service, so you got to make sure you set your DVR or you get the online a replay of it. Besides these commercial ads, life is filled with situations and circumstances that spawn individual thoughts. Somebody once said that the mind has over 10,000 different thoughts given in a small amount of time. Just from the time that you wake up to the time that you leave your house, you have thousands of individual thoughts. And it becomes real easy in situations like that to think that random thoughts don't matter. Norman Vincent Peale said that if you change your thoughts, change the world. What we choose to meditate on does matter. The thousands of situations that we come across will cause our minds to go in a variety of different directions. The question is, are we allowing ourselves to be led in the wrong direction or the right? Are we allowing ourselves to be programmed to do the right things or the wrong things? Unfortunately, the things that we are cause us to think don't always cause us to think in spiritual ways. If we are not careful, our minds will become flooded with thoughts that will take us away from being the kind of people that we need to be so that we can get to heaven. Not just so that we can get to heaven, but also so that we can be able to stand against all the things that this world throws at us. That is why Paul says, he closes out the book of Philippians, saying, finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report, if there be any virtue and if there be any praise, think on these things. That's the King James Version. He's not just saying, think positive thoughts and go on your way. Paul is providing a very practical way to ensure that we have a means of being obedient to Christ. He says in 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 4 and 5, For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds, casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalted itself against the knowledge of God, and bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. Amen. Paul wants us to win the battle for our minds. Amen. That's why he starts off saying, think on these things. Think on the things that are true. Not on lies, not on gossip, not on what may be or might be true. You know, we hear a lot these days the term fake news thrown around. And without getting into political discussions, it is clear that some people often seem very eager to run and tell everybody what they believe or what their version of the truth is. And sometimes people just run to tell you things just so that you can believe what they're saying, whether it be true or not. That's why it's important for us to not just believe anything that we are told. Just because we trust someone or some organization that tells us something, whether it's someone on TV, the radio, or even someone standing in this pulpit, including myself, it is very important that we seek out the truth for ourselves. Amen. We learn what the truth is. Because it's very, you know, somebody once said that stand up for what you believe in because you can fall for anything. You know, if you do not focus on learning what the truth is, then you will get caught up in having the wrong information and getting the wrong results. He said, whatever things are noble. The King James Version more accurately says, whatever is honest. It carries with it the thought of what is dignified, what is worthy of respect. Are your thoughts worthy of respect?
Amen.
Or are you just focusing on those things that are vulgar and base? He says, things that are just. Some translations say whatever is right. That word there means to means righteous or observing human laws. It means to focus on striving for a righteous life.
Amen.
Think about what is pure, not what is sleazy. Think on whatever is lovely, things that are pleasing. If there is any excellence, don't settle for a moral mediocrity. Focus on what is admirable and praiseworthy, things that build up, not things that tear down, those things that are endearing and admirable, not on what is cheap and offensive. Remember, you will reap in actions what you have sown into your mind.
Amen.
And since that is the case, only you can ask yourself the question about the sources of the programming for your mind. What kind of music do you listen to? What about the movies or the videos that you watch? The radio stations that you spend all your time listening to? What about the books and the magazines you read? Or even the people you spend time with who have an influence over you? What about the places you go in your spare time when you go or when you go on vacation? What about the things that you do or are involved in that you don't want other people to know about? Whatever enters your mind is between you and God. But ultimately, you should have a clear understanding on whether or not whatever it is that your eyes and ears are binging on whether or not those things are hindering or helping you to have the ability to take captive every thought towards obedience to Christ.
Amen.
In verse number 9 of Philippians 4, Paul talks about not just thinking about these things, but putting them into practice. He says in Philippians 4:9, the things which you have learned and received and heard and saw in me, these do, and the God of peace will be with you. It is an important step in changing your life to ensure that you get the results that you want by you putting into action the things that are beneficial for you to think about. It's not enough to just think, oh, how I love Jesus. But when James talked about, you know, you can say you have faith, but I'll show you my faith by how I live my life.
Amen.
Put it into action. Don't just be a believer and sit on the couch somewhere and think that that's all there is to life. You can believe all you want to. Satan believes. But what is good is it doing him? The demons believe. But what good is it doing them? Put your faith into action.
Amen.
Use it in your life. It wasn't easy for me to get to the point where I am today. When I became a Christian, every word out of my mouth was a curse word. Every other word. I kid you not. I had a better vocabulary, but for some reason I just chose to use a lot of curse words. It wasn't easy to change that, but in order to change it, I had to change those things that I was allowing to influence me. It helps to have someone who is there to help hold you accountable, like Barbara has been for me.
Amen.
That wasn't just enough. I had to stop listening to all the rap music that I was listening to. I had to change from listening to just any type of music to just spiritual music. When I read scripture and said, sing psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, I had to make sure that that was what my mind was being flooded with. I couldn't just go and read any kind of magazine, listening to the gospel, gossip magazines and all this other stuff. I had to focus my attention on being a spiritual individual.
Yeah.
I could not have gotten to the point where I got up in this pulpit at all, if I was just focusing on the things of this world. I had to change the nature of what was programming my mind.
Amen.
I stopped hanging out with the same people I used to hang out with. I mean, if you become a Christian and you still hanging out with some of the people in the world, you got to be careful. I'm not saying, Jesus himself, talks about not being friends with the world. But it's one thing to try and be an influence on others, but it's very important to understand who is truly being influenced in that relationship. Are you allowing them to be an influence to go and do the wrong thing? Are they being influenced on you to go and do the wrong things? Or are you being influenced on them to come to church, to be a servant of God, to live a righteous life? 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 33 says, "Do not be deceived. Evil company corrupts good habits." Make sure that the people you hang out with are the people that's helping you to stay focused on the path that you're on.
Amen.
You can hang around with pigeons pecking on the floor, or you can soar with eagles.
Amen.
One of the best habits to pick up is making time to feast on the Word of God.
Yeah.
You can't just empty your mind of the world. You also have to put something in its place. You also have to fill up on the Spirit. And you do that through studying God's Word. Keep in mind that we are in a spiritual warfare. And God's Word is our weapon that we should be well acquainted with. You can't go into battle when you have, if you imagine something, you buy a brand new gun to protect yourself and your family, and you have never taken time at all to use that gun. And so here it is, you get into a situation, you need that gun to help protect your family, and you know nothing about it. You don't know how to load it. You don't know where the safety is at. You don't even know if it's, going to shoot in the right direction that you're trying to shoot it. You have to know how to use the weapons of your warfare. And we are in a spiritual war. And God's word is the weapon that we need for this battle. It will help us to stay equipped. It will, even though we read in scripture about the put on the full armor of God. But see, you can't put on all the rest of the armor unless you have the one that helps you equip everything else.
Amen.
Get acquainted with the words. I can't tell you how many times that knowing certain scriptures have helped me to face difficult situations. Times when I was tempted to go the other way, but the knowledge of God's word helped me to stay on the path of doing what God would have me to do. There is a reason why Paul, why the psalmist says in Psalm 119, verse 11, your word have I hidden in my heart that I might not sin against you. The more you study it, the more you retain it, and the more prepared you will be when it comes time to use it.
Amen.
Jesus himself used the word to fight the temptations of Satan. He didn't say, oh, devil, hold on 1 minute. I got to go study on how to reply to you. No, he knew it because it was a part of him. It's a part of his everyday life, part of his everyday schedule to continue to keep himself acquainted with the word. He stayed praying up. Every time you look at scriptures, you see where Jesus is praying to God. He was staying in constant communication with the source of his power. That's why Proverbs 23:7 says in the King James Version, as a man thinketh in his heart, so is he. What you think today, you become tomorrow.
Amen.
The thoughts you entertain the most will reveal a lot about what you can expect in your future. If you think you can't, you probably can't. If you think angry thoughts, angry words are sure to follow. If you fill your mind with sexual fantasies, your body will find a way to fulfill those desires. If you dwell on your problems, they will soon overwhelm you. If you feel like a victim, soon you will become one. If all your time is spent on worrying, don't be surprised when you start getting ulcers. If you expect defeat, you will probably lose. If you dwell on rejection, you will set yourself up for even more rejection. If you focus on how others misunderstand you, you will soon become angry and bitter. What goes in must come out. Sooner or later, your thoughts will translate in some form or another into reality. The flip side is also true. You focus on the truth, you will speak the truth. If you look on noble things, nobility will mark your life. If you seek out lovely things, your life will be lovely to others. If you dwell on that which is right, that which is wrong will have no attraction to you. If you think on pure things, you will become pure. If you look for virtue, you will find it. If you search for higher things, you will elevate your own life. Here is God's prescription for believers. Think on these things.
Amen.
Focus on the good. Focus on the pure, the true, the holy, the right, and the lovely. Find those things that elevate the mind and think on them.
Amen.
And it does not have to be limited to what's in God's word. Don't get me wrong. You need to study the word. You need to be equipped. But God's word is not the only place you can find the inspiration to do what's right. Look all around you. Even in the fallen world, beauty is everywhere. Truth is right by your side. Purity is yours for the asking. And things that are admirable are all around you. One of the reasons why I use quotes from people who are not Christians, who are not individuals of the cloth, so to speak, is so people can see that truth is truth. Doesn't make a difference where it comes from. The truth is always the truth.
Man.
It's been said that heaven is a prepared place for a prepared people. If you truly want to make heaven your home, we need to be ready and start by working towards controlling our minds.
Man.
In this world, we are going to constantly be bombarded by one thing or another. By individuals, and trust me, I know as a bus driver, I see so much. But if you are not careful, all of that stuff will begin to program your mind. And if you're really not careful, I take careful watch over what I say, Paul talks about himself. He says, and he buffets the flesh daily. You know, I, as a person who used to curse all the time, it's necessary for me to be careful because everywhere I go, people are cursing left and right. And so if I put down my guard, then I end up saying something that, you know, a preacher shouldn't be saying. So it's important to make sure that you realize that the battle for your life starts up here. This morning, no matter what it is that is going on in your thoughts, only you and God knows those things. But you have the ability to take control over what happens in your future by focusing first on what you think about. By realizing and understand that you are not alone in this fight. God has made sure that you have the help you need. Jesus says, and lo, I'm with you always, even to the end of the world. And even when he left, he still sent a helper for them through the Holy Spirit that dwells within us. And even with the Holy Spirit with us, we still have the brothers and sisters of the church to continue to encourage us and help us along this path that we are going down. You are not alone in the fight to win back your mind. Realize and understand that God has provided you what you need. You just need to use what he has given you.
Amen.
This morning, whatever your needs are, let them be known as together we stand and sing the invitation.